what the nurses told us in this study was that they found looking after older people very frustrating, not because the older person was frustrating, but because they couldn't give the quality of care that they thought they should be giving. And this is a big stress for nurses. They're not annoyed or stressed by the patient per se. They're annoyed or stressed by their own feelings of not having the time to give the care that they know is required.
Would you be able to define what an older person is?
Well, that's a tough one because different people use different parameters. In our study, we used either 65 and over, and that's a pretty standard definition of an older person. But as the population ages, 65 is now young in many ways and going to live much longer. But that's the standard cutoff, 65 and older.
So for people who we do classify as older, what do we know about their general practice of hospital admissions?
Well, for our study, we looked at emergency departments. We know that older people are overrepresented when it comes to emergency department presentations. So they present more frequently, and they tend to stay longer. And it's a terrible term, but they're called bed blockers. And what that means is that once they get into an emergency department, get into a bed, finding a place to move them on, as either into a hospital or even discharge or maybe a nursing home, becomes very difficult. And so they tend to stay longer for that reason.
So what social and physical characteristics are we likely to see in an older person who's in the emergency department?
Well, you're likely to see somebody with a lot of chronic illnesses, and their presentation is usually very complex. So even though they come in for one reason, they usually have a multiple of other reasons or other illnesses, comorbidities is what they're called. So their presentation may look simple, but their history and their background is very complex. And in an emergency room, an emergency department, there's not always the time to assess all of those other conditions because they focus just on the immediate presenting problem, as it were.
And in general, how well equipped are emergency departments to deal with older patients?
Well, they're set up for a different reason. So their reason for being is something different. So they've had to accommodate or adjust who they are and what they are for people that present with these complex situations. I mean, at the moment, what we have, which is a great initiative, we have specialist teams in emergency departments that are there specifically to assess older people for this very reason. So they're specialist nurses and doctors who have the time to come and do a full assessment and take the time to get the information that's needed and then pass it on to the emergency department staff.
Because older people are overrepresented in emergency departments, is this just what happens when we age? We do have a lot of comorbidities that need immediate attention, or is it more a case of they've put off these issues and haven't seen a GP, for example?
Well, what we found is the majority of people in our study who did present to the emergency department, most of them had been in touch with their GP. And it was often on the advice of the GP that they presented to the emergency department. And some of that advice was misguided. For example, I think a couple GPs advised people that if they called an ambulance, they would be seen more quickly in the emergency department. And that's not true. You're seen by order of your triage code, how urgent you are. And if you're not urgent, whether you come by ambulance or whether you walk in the door, you will wait in the queue. So that really surprised me that GPs didn't really understand that calling an ambulance doesn't get you into the emergency department any sooner. You'll hear again on the news about paramedics who are in ambulances having to wait sometimes a whole shift in an emergency department because they can't, what they call, offload that patient until they have a bed to put them in. So they have to stay there with them. So that kind of surprised me. So a lot of our people had been ill or suffering from something, had seen the GP, weren't getting better, and on the advice of the GP, who said, if you don't get any better, then go to the emergency department. So it begs the question of whether those symptoms or that illness could have been managed differently or better rather than a presentation to an emergency department.
Now, the study that we are talking about looked at how nurses view the impact of older people on nursing resources. Now, they have a term that I found quite interesting, the frequent flyer. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
First of all, I have to say it's a term I don't like because it's got very negative connotations to it. But what a frequent flyer is somebody who represents to the emergency department a number of times in a short period of time. And they call them frequent flyers. And it's often that people are unsure, you know, what you do about them, what do you do about it, did we resolve it, didn't we resolve it? Representing to an emergency department isn't the outcome we want. We want to have it resolved and them to move on into the system.
Nurses also had another term called selling the patient. What's the reason behind that?
This is a complex situation. So in an emergency department, let's say you come in and you have an acute cardiac condition. You have chest pain, which, by the way, you will be seen right away if you present with chest pain. And it's determined that you need to be admitted for a cardiac heart problem. The emergency department physicians, and it's usually the physicians, have to hand that over to the cardiac specialist team. And by and large, that's a matter of calling the specialist team. They come to the emergency department, see the patient, say, yes, we'll take the patient, meaning they'll admit them under their service, because emergency department don't admit to the hospital. They only admit to the emergency department. So because of highly specialized medical care, as we have it today, you know, we have the nurse and doctor for the right toe and the nurse and doctor for the left toe. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so specialized, and now it's subspecialized, that when somebody has a lot of complex health problems, so it might be their heart, it might be their lungs, it might be a whole variety of systems, convincing the cardiologist that this is a cardiac patient and not a respiratory patient can become a real art. They have to be quite persuasive, and they often have to sell the patient to the specialist team. And it, like I said, it's a term that I find a little bit grating, but it's a process that goes on. And they often can't convince the specialist team that this person should be on their team.
So what happens if they can't convince that specialist?
Then they try another specialist sometimes. So it can really be a problem.
And I imagine that creates quite a lot of stress as well for the nurse.
Well, yes, because then there's this person there that can't move on. You know, can't move them on in the system because you can't get a team to take them.
You know, we'd have aging patients that have multiple health conditions. So how do nurses juggle those multiple conditions? I know you were saying before, it's not really up to the emergency department to do that.
Well, it's very difficult because they often are only focused on the presenting problem, and they often do not get a lot of background other than a history of what's going on right now to know what else might be wrong with the person. So they probably appreciate the fact that they're very complex, but time is the currency in an emergency department. The staff are under pressure to move people through in a timely manner. They're under pressure to free those beds to get another person in. They don't want all their beds full, that bed block situation. So they often, nurses and doctors in the often perceive they don't have the time to really look into a myriad of different problems.
Part of a nurse's role is that caring. Do nurses feel that they don't get enough time to care for the patient and build that rapport?
That's one of the frustrations that they express. They could see that people needed And one of the things that they talked about is what we would call, you know, basic nursing care. I would call it essential nursing care. So essential nursing care would be, in this situation, getting somebody a bedpan if they needed it, if they couldn't get out of bed and go to the toilet. But nurses often felt that they had a more pressing priority and they couldn't get back to that patient, so they couldn't give what we call basic nursing care, so basic comfort, basic hygiene, things like that. They felt that they didn't have time in that setting to do that kind of thing.
This isn't a problem that's going to go away anytime in the near future.
Yeah.
Is there any advice that you could give or that the nurses have given that would help alleviate some of the stress and strain of helping older patients to seek the help that they need in an emergency department?
I think what's needed is what's starting to happen with these specialist aged care teams. You need specialist aged care clinicians, so I guess that's another specialty, because they think in this multiple systems way. So a gerontologist or a aged care nurse will be able to think with these multiple systems. And so it's really, I think, a matter of having specialist people available and on site to do the proper assessment and make a proper disposition for the patient.
And are these specialist teams in all hospitals or only some hospitals at the moment?
I can't tell you for complete certainty, but certainly in the big metropolitan hospitals we have them. Whether we would find them in the country or the rural areas, I'm not sure.